On a Monday, it is a State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're checking in on our state's financial position and tax collections almost 1 month after tax day, as the deadline was pushed back in the pandemic. In Wisconsin and across the nation, states are revising their financial outlooks as revenue collections outpace expectations. We certainly got a taste of that last week. Keyword there, unprecedented, describing revenue growth forecast through mid-2023. What do you want to know about our tax revenue picture? It's 800-642-1234. Peter Barca is Secretary of the Wisconsin Department of Revenue. Secretary Barca, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thank you, Kate. Great to be with you this morning.
Good morning. Well, when we talked with you last October, you were very concerned about where Wisconsin was doing and headed for in this pandemic. You were expecting things to get a lot worse, but the opposite has been true, apparently.
Well, no question. As a state as a whole, we're doing extremely well. We're very heartened to see the kind of progress that we made across the spectrum economically and certainly budgetarily. So we're in a very strong position. Of course, we have to keep in mind not every business is doing terrific. It's still, we still see in the hospitality industry for restaurants and theaters and lodging, they're still slowly pulling out of this public health-based recession, and they're not quite there yet. So we're still working hard to try and help them with their needs. We just finished a Wisconsin Tomorrow grant program that we think will help them a lot. But overall, as a state, we couldn't be doing much better. We have $4.4 billion higher than we had estimated even back in January. So our budget's in very strong position, and we think we're in a very key position now to try to move forward. And the governor had always wanted a Badger bounce back better, and we're certainly positioned to be there in the very near future. We're across the spectrum.
In this key position, though, economists and forecasters don't usually miss projections by this much. And I'm wondering, has it been difficult for forecasters and revenue secretaries like yourself to figure out this recession and truly understand Wisconsin's position?
Well, it has, not only in Wisconsin, but really across America and across the world, because this is, as we all know, a pandemic-based recession. And it was very difficult to predict how quickly these vaccines could be distributed and the receptivity of people that had taken the vaccines and whether or not we could open up as a society, both in Wisconsin and really across America. And the vaccines have proven to be just incredibly effective. And, the rate of people being reinfected is just infinitesimally small if they've gotten the vaccine, which is a key point. That's why we're really encouraging everybody to get the vaccine, because that's the surest means of protecting yourself and your family and those that you surround yourself with, whether it be at work or wherever, from getting sick. So, but thankfully in Wisconsin, we've done exceedingly well. We've been in the top, three or four in the whole nation in terms of the percentage of people that we've been able to get vaccinated with the vaccines that have been provided to us. So it's going extremely well. And that's part of the reason why we've done much better in Wisconsin than many other states, is because of the effectiveness of the vaccine distribution program.
So vaccine uptake, what you're saying is a key to some of this economic stability and a rosier forecast. But I want to dig into what accounts for the unprecedented surplus here. What is going on?
Well, there's a number of things. I mean, first of all, we have to recognize that a lot of it is because of the federal stimulus money that came in. That's played a very vital role in terms of helping businesses to stay open. But then also, as we looked at it in Wisconsin, the governor made decisions and strategic investments in those industries that were the hardest hit. And we were able to, distribute unprecedented amounts of money to businesses, particularly, as we indicated, like in the hospitality and lodging industry and theaters, things of that sort. But across the spectrum, with Wisconsin Farm Support Program was also very important, economically. And as a consequence, Kate, the other key statistic is that the national employment rate is at 6.1%. In Wisconsin, we're at 3.9.
Mm-hmm.
So that also explains part of it, is that people are back to work, so they're paying their taxes, and they're able to also go out and, you know, buy the goods and services that boost sales tax revenue as well. So across the spectrum, we're seeing just very strong growth because of all of those kinds of factors.
If you're just joining us, we're talking with Peter Barca, who is Secretary of the State Department of Revenue, as we look at the state of tax collections and Wisconsin's economic forecast, its position currently in the pandemic. Join in. What should Wisconsin do with an unexpected windfall? What questions do you have about the new revenue estimates, and why our state vastly outperformed expectations? Join in at 800-642-1234. Looking at the money we set aside in our budget stabilization fund, what does this mean, this forecast mean for the rainy day fund?
Well, it means a huge inflow of money into the rainy day fund. We'll distribute about $700 million more into the rainy day fund at the end of this fiscal year. So that means that, you know, the next time we have a downturn economically in America or in the world, we'll be in a much stronger position than we have been in the past, so that, you know, as a consequence, we can avoid having to cut services or take other kinds of measures. So that's another very positive outcome of this that we're, you know, very enthused about.
The budget currently spends a bit less on what Governor Evers had proposed for K-12 schools, falling $200 million short of what would be needed for Wisconsin to keep billion and more in federal funding from the March relief bill. What does this surplus mean, in particular, for education funding?
Well, you know, that's a decision that's made both by the legislature and the governor, ultimately through the budget process. So it's inconceivable to me that the Finance Committee wouldn't take a second look at this. I mean, that's a ton of money to leave on the table. And, you know, if we don't take that money, what it means is it'll be distributed to other states. So, in effect, the taxpayers of Wisconsin would be subsidizing the states around us and across America. So, you know, at a time of unprecedented funds, the federal government is not requiring that heavy of an effort in order to have, you know, these additional one-time funds that we can have to bolster our educational needs or meet the needs all across Wisconsin. Obviously, there's a lot of tremendous needs that we have in various districts across the state. And, you know, to have this one-time golden opportunity to bring in all this additional aid would just be such a huge mistake. And I've got to believe eventually that the legislature will come around in order to realize that.
Do you expect lawmakers will need to pass a budget repair bill this year?
Well, they should not have to pass a budget repair bill if, in fact, they, you know, complete the budget, you know, by June 30th, which is the end of the fiscal year, and take responsible actions and, you know, collaborate with the governor to try to maximize our resources and put us in a strong position. Generally, budget repair bills come about when you have a downturn in finances and you're in a weak position, because we have a constitutional requirement that the budget be balanced. So there should not be a need for that. So I'm still hoping that we've got a couple of weeks left here to pass a balanced budget and one that meets the needs of the state. You know, the governor outlined, of course, in his original budget, you know, what the needs were educationally and in terms of the healthcare needs, obviously, to keep us safe, you know, should these variants take control again. And so I think we've got a very strong, responsible budget that looks out economically for the needs of the state and makes strategic kinds of investments to try and bring prosperity, things like a venture capital fund of, you know, $100 million, which will, you know, be very important in terms of entrepreneurs and a lot of young people who come up with new ideas. An R&D credit, which is something that, you know, we've heard from industries across the state.
Research and development.
Research and development is. Yeah. Yes, exactly. And, And then, of course, workforce investment dollars and having a strong educational system. Those are some of the key things to have economic prosperity. So we're hoping that, you know, they'll pass a budget that will reflect, you know, those values we've always had in Wisconsin and the needs that have been so clearly identified. And, of course, broadband is another one. The governor's proposed unprecedented investments in broadband. And after the pandemic, it's become just so vividly clear how vital, you know, having broadband across the state, you know, will be to prepare us for, you know, the needs that lie before us. You know, in an information age, that's one of the most important things you can do is make sure everybody has access to, you know, high-speed internet.
Revenue Secretary Peter Barca with us. Where should our state put unexpected massive surplus of general fund tax revenue? What aspects of state spending do you want the legislature and governor to see eye to eye on? 800-642-1234. Back in a minute on the Ideas Network. It's a State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We have Revenue Secretary Peter Barca on the line as we explore our state's fiscal situation, the recent unexpected boost in tax collections. What do you make of the vastly improved economic forecasts for the remainder of the year and the next 2 years? Are you cautious or optimistic about the rosier projections for our state based on what you experience? Be part of this. 800-642-1234. Secretary Barca is with us for 10 more minutes. Secretary Barca, I'm wondering about sales tax collections. What's been the impact of e-commerce, online shopping?
Well, especially during the pandemic, it's been exceedingly strong. In fact, it's enabled us to obviously move commerce across the state, but also it's produced somewhat of a disparity because, you know, one of the whole purposes of the Wayfair decision in Congress and then us passing the Marketplace Bill was to sort of level the playing field between brick and mortar stores and internet sales. But during the pandemic, because of, you know, people trying to rightfully keep themselves safe, they just started buying things through the internet at a much higher pace. And so as a consequence, you know, we've seen a big transfer of purchasing power over to the internet. Now, I expect that'll start to level out. But on the positive side, it's produced income tax cuts because we dedicated the additional funds that we brought in through the Marketplace to income tax relief. The governor run on the idea of giving income tax relief to the average citizen. And, you know, so as a consequence to really a bipartisan deal with the legislature in this case, we're able to deliver income tax relief to people in sort of that middle income category in particular. So it's been a real plus.
Well, on the issue of income tax cuts, let's bring in John in Eau Claire. Hi, John. Go ahead.
Good morning. Thank you. The surplus is the result in large part, if not whole, of overtaxation. Wisconsin's highest marginal rate, which I believe was put in under Governor Doyle, now should be reversed, and this money should be returned to taxpayers to make Wisconsin a more competitive environment.
John, thanks. Secretary Barca, go ahead.
Well, I would say that clearly, you know, Governor Evers has made it a priority to give middle-class tax relief to people. And I wouldn't say it's because of the top rate. It's not because of people at the upper end that are paying more in taxes. It's really been a circumstance that because the economy has bounced back much quicker and stronger, that we've gotten much more revenue into the state of Wisconsin. And part of it, you know, we can make no mistake about it, has to do with federal funds. I mean, you know, we've brought in an unprecedented amount of money from the federal government and direct payments to people. And
the American Rescue Plan
unemployment. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and unemployment assistance and aid through the PPP directly to businesses. So it's been an increased economic input across the spectrum, not just from individuals, but also from businesses doing better than what we anticipated that's produced a surplus. And so clearly, I think tax relief is in order, and the governor certainly would like to see some degree of tax relief as well, and also ensure, though, that we do make those critical investments in broadband which will really position us for the future in a much stronger position. Things like we talked about already in terms of venture capital and education and training investments. So we have the best workforce possible, because the biggest issue, okay, as we talked about last time I was on your show, pre-pandemic was workforce type issues. And now post-pandemic, that's going to be there again. So having a strong educational system and having workforce type programs, the governor has money in there for workforce housing as well. Because what I hear from CEOs across the state, in many cases, they want to bring new employees in, and there's not housing for them to even live in their communities. So taxes are certainly an important point, but also some of these strategic investments are as well.
So what I'm hearing is it's really a balancing act here. Tax relief is in the mix of a bunch of other things that the state should prioritize.
Yes, I think that's a good way to put it. I think that, you know, we want to have a balanced investment approach that will position us for the long term. I mean, tax relief is important, and we certainly want to see that. But to only do that and not, let's say, improve your broadband, improve your, you know, your workforce training to make sure that we have the best trained workforce in the world, as we historically have had, won't put us in the best position to keep that kind of economic prosperity in the future.
We're talking with Peter Barca, Secretary of the Department of Revenue, as we discuss tax collections and revenue estimates in the pandemic. You can join in, 800-642-1234. Secretary Barca, how did the change in the tax deadline, you know, extending it till May 17th as opposed to April, how has that affected tax collections this year, if at all?
Well, I don't think it affected it too much. I mean, obviously, it was needed relief to give people those extra, you know, 30 days to file their taxes. That certainly was a plus, just given everything that people were contending with. And as I talked to accountants, I think that, you know, they felt like, you know, there was a plus there, a certain degree. But they were certainly prepared and would have been able to make the, you know, the April 15 deadline. So I don't think it had much of an impact. We had, you know, 3.1 million people file, as we have had in the past. And so, but I think it certainly was a plus just from a convenience standpoint from people.
Let's bring in Robert in Milwaukee with a question. Hi, Robert.
Hi. I'm just curious to know, is there such a figure of knowing how many businesses or corporations do not pay any taxes at all in Wisconsin? And if that has any relationship to why we have such a surplus all of a sudden, are more companies paying into it or what?
Mm-hmm. It's an excellent question. And, you know, obviously, you know, we work very hard to try to identify people who have a tax obligation in Wisconsin to ensure that everybody does pay their fair share. And in fact, one thing we're very proud of is we've broken all the goals that were set for the Department of Revenue in terms of identifying out-of-state companies that perhaps didn't know they had a taxable liability here. But it's you know, we don't know for sure. There's been some reports and estimates on a federal level of a certain percentage of people that are not paying that would actually help and bring in more money if they did. But, you know, we think we have, you know, very good tax compliance here in Wisconsin. Wisconsinites are known to be, you know, honest people and that pay their taxes, you know, and make sure that they're doing their part and paying their fair share. So,
has that been an issue, though, with out-of-state companies not clearly understanding Wisconsin's tax code or somehow getting around it and not paying in?
Well, you know, we found out that it actually was an issue. And, you know, when the audit 2020 was passed by the legislature back around 7 or 8 years ago, the idea was to, you know, do that educational type of effort and to do the kind of hard work to identify who had a tax liability. And obviously, we've broken all of the goals that were set for us because there were quite a few that didn't really understand that they had a tax liability when they had, when not a state company, for instance, had employees that were located here in Wisconsin, that they had a liability themselves, which is the case in Berkeley. All circumstances. So that has actually been a plus and, you know, in a small way, it's contributed to the surplus as well. The fact that we've, you know, been able to identify those companies and ensure that they are paying their fair share. And of course, every time out-of-state companies pay a little bit more, then that reduces the obligation for, in-state companies. So that's been a very high priority of ours, and we're very pleased that we've made good progress on that front.
Well, in the last few moments we have here, when will you get the next forecast or a clear picture of those corporate franchise tax payments and income tax withholdings and sales tax amounts?
Well, every month we do a revision internally.
Okay.
And so generally it's about the middle of the month. So by mid-July, we should have a pretty clear picture, mid to late July, in terms of how we ended the fiscal year. But we watch them month by month, and, the economists at the Department of Revenue, they're charged with analyzing, where revenues are at in terms of sales tax and corporate taxes and income taxes and excise taxes. And so month by month, we watch that closely. If you need more information in the future, Kate, we'd be thrilled to provide it.
Secretary Barka, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Kate. Always good to be with you.
Peter Barka is Secretary of the State Department of Revenue. We have State Senator Howard Markline next. In just a moment on the Ideas Network. On a Monday, it is a State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Our state's projected tax revenue has done a 180, going from grim estimates late last year to what the Legislative Fiscal Bureau labeled as unprecedented revenue growth this year. Wisconsin is expected to take in $4.4 billion more than previous tax collection estimates over a three-year period. How do you want the state to budget for this additional revenue? What do you want to convey to the legislature's Joint Finance Committee, the Budget Writing Committee? It's 800-642-1234. Republican State Senator Howard Markline of Spring Green is co-chair of Joint Finance. His district includes parts of six rural counties in the southwest corner of our state. Senator Markline, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Good morning, Kate.
Good morning. So after you saw the higher estimates for tax collections and other revenue, what did you think? Where did your mind go?
Well, I expected good news. I've been following our tax collections. Every month I follow exactly how much we're getting in income tax revenue, sales tax revenue, corporate tax collections, cigarette tax and all those. I follow that very, very closely. The numbers have been coming in really, really well, and so I wasn't, I wasn't totally surprised, I guess. I knew we were going to have some good news last week from the Legislative Fiscal Bureau. I thought it might be a billion or two improvement. I wasn't expecting the $4.4 billion upper that the Fiscal Bureau shared with us. So I wasn't, I guess, in reaction to your question, I certainly expected it to be up from what we heard in January. The economy out here is doing remarkably well.
What is your philosophy toward using this infusion of cash as our state balances its books? How would you use it?
Well, I'll tell you, I'm frugal, whether in my personal life, I'm frugal, whether I have any money in my wallet or not. And just because I have more money, on a personal level, I don't spend more. So, and I think that same kind of philosophy is going to, carry over to my public service role here too. So just because we have all kinds of additional money, I don't believe that we're going to, it doesn't change my philosophy, and I don't think our caucus's philosophy in terms of the spending level. So, we certainly need to continue to invest in priorities, continue to make strategic investments. And I think from a priority standpoint, I think we were anticipating really, really good revenue numbers from the Fiscal Bureau. And we were hopeful that we could do a tax cut. And I think this, the news we heard last week will just reinforce our desire to do a tax cut when we meet later this week.
So a tax cut as you meet later this week. What are those strategic investments, though? What are those top line priorities? Can you be more specific?
Well, again, we're going to be this extra money, $4.4 billion more that we are going to be collecting over the next 24 months here. That came from our taxpayers. So, you know, I believe we should be returning a good, you know, some portion of that, or maybe a good portion of that, back to the taxpayers that are going to be paying it in the first place. You know, and as far as how that looks, we're still working out the details on that.
In May, you said you were taking Wisconsin's state budget process back to the basics. Your caucus stripped out hundreds of the governor's proposals. You know, is your committee seeing eye to eye as you build a new budget from scratch?
Oh, yes. I mean, we're every vote we've had, you know, between the Assembly and the Senate, we've have been united on that. Our budget, we've gone back to a base budget. So what we're doing is we are building on the budget that we are currently operating right now. That was the budget that was passed 2 years ago. It was the budget that the governor signed 2 years ago, and he supported 2 years ago. And so we're starting with that base level and then building from that. So I think the committee has adhered to that increased the funding and in all kinds of different areas so far in the budget.
Well, Democrats have countered, though, that the governor's budget is a product of what Wisconsinites want, that the governor has gone around the state in listening sessions and put in the budget what constituents want. Do you feel Republicans are in tune with what Wisconsinites are asking for?
Absolutely. You know, I've been out in the last several weeks. I had a number of dairy breakfasts this weekend, parades this weekend. I've been out a lot over the last number of months in my district, and I've got a rural area, and I'll tell you, the feedback I'm getting from the people that I meet, I talked to hundreds of people yesterday at a dairy breakfast and parade, and the feedback that I'm getting has been very, very supportive, very positive, you know, keep going. I think the public expects a level of fiscal discipline, and I think we're bringing that to the table.
Yeah, so keep going on what in particular. Can you explain what you're hearing and then what you are applying in the budget writing process?
Well, let me start with transportation, okay? Last Tuesday, we, the Joint Finance Committee, approved the our transportation proposal. And, you know, and again, that affects a lot of our rural areas. Roads are a huge concern for us in my area. And the budget that we passed last week, the transportation budget that we passed last week in Joint Finance Committee, provides an incredible amount of money for our local roads. This is comparable to the 2 years ago, we had appropriated $90 million to a local road supplement program. The governor vetoed that down to $75 million. We're coming in this year at $100 million, which is they're happy about increasing general transportation aids. And we're doing all this with the lowest level of bonding in decades. And I've gone back to at least the 1990s, and it's the lowest level of bonding in decades. And the Wisconsin Towns Association, that represents all of our, you know, townships in the state of Wisconsin, last week called this the best transportation budget they have ever seen.
You also cut mass transit in this budget by over $41 million. What are your thoughts there?
Well, our transit agencies have a huge amount of federal money that they've been allocated in several rounds of federal funding. We've been told that they could go 3 years plus without charging a fare and be okay. So, you know, I would rather the money all spends the same. The federal money, state money spends the same. And I would rather have those transit agencies use the federal money they're sitting on, which is an incredible amount of federal money, use that money first before state taxpayers are contributing to that. And we did that cut that you referred to, we did in the first year of the biennium only, so that the second year of the biennium, the funding to the transit systems would be restored to their level. So their base would be preserved into the future.
We're talking with State Senator Howard Markline of Spring Green, co-chair of the legislature's Joint Committee on Finance. We're discussing fiscal priorities as revenue estimates are unprecedented. You can join in 800-642-1234. Jane is with us from Suamico. Hi, Jane. What would you like to ask?
Who is responsible for paying attention to the federal requirements for state spending so we don't lose billions of dollars in federal monies?
Well, you're referring to, I believe, the maintenance of effort requirement that the federal programs, the CARES Act, and all the ESSER funds have with them. And, you know, I'm certainly aware of that concern. It's a concern we've had since we became aware of this months and months ago. So, and I said months ago that I believe the risk is manageable. We're aware of it. We're going to be we've been working closely with the Legislative Fiscal Bureau, the nonpartisan Legislative Fiscal Bureau, on strategies to address that so that we don't put our federal funding at risk. So I'm confident we're going to be able to address this as we close out the budget here. We're certainly aware of it, and, you know, it affects, you know, we're not going to put that kind of money at risk for the taxpayers in the state of Wisconsin.
So when you're looking at that, though, the budget currently spends less than 10% of what Evers had proposed on K-12 schools, falling $200 million short of what would be needed for Wisconsin to keep the federal funding from Biden's coronavirus relief bill, to keep $1.5 billion. What specifically will you do about education funding?
The budget is not done.
Is there anything more, though, you would like to add about that, where you would forecast education in your priorities for budgeting?
Well, the budget isn't done. And, you know, we're going to be, you know, by the end of this week, I think everybody will have a pretty clear picture as to the decisions we'll make this week. We're certainly aware of the maintenance of effort issue, and we're going to it's something that's, you know, a priority for us. And It's something we're going to be dealing with here as we wrap up the budget here over the next several days.
Let's bring in Gary now in Ripon. Gary, hi, go ahead.
Yes, good morning. If we have a little extra money now, I think we should expand the size of the State Patrol or some other agency so that we can intercept people bringing marijuana in from Illinois and Michigan.
Gary, thanks. State Senator, what do you make of that?
Well, it's, you know, I certainly, you know, I listened to all suggestions. The State Patrol budget was last week as part of the Department of Transportation budget. So we have addressed the State Patrol budget already. I don't know that we're going to be going back, revisiting that issue specifically, but I wouldn't be surprised at all if a number of the ideas, the proposals that have been floated throughout the budget process that may not have been included in the budget process, maybe may come back as separate legislation and go through the committee process, and then ultimately would end up with the Joint Finance Committee again. But I anticipate that there's going to be a number of initiatives that we haven't included in the state budget that we will be dealing with on a standalone basis.
And that might be, you know, using this one-time surplus money on one-time projects is what I might be hearing you say here. You know, these one-time projects for maybe, you know, road repairs or broadband expansion or something else. Could that be the case?
Well, I think there's a lot of great ideas that have been floated in during the budget process. We heard that as we did public hearings around the state. We've discussed that here, that, you know, in my district. And so, you know, I think a number of these new initiatives, I think you may see them, resurrected in the form of new legislation or separate legislation down the road.
We're talking with State Senator Howard Markline, who's co-chair of the legislature's Budget Writing Committee. What do you want to ask him? Would you prefer that lawmakers make investments in one-time projects or cut taxes in coming years? How much do you think the state should be giving cities to spend on transportation issues? Join in at any point, 800-642-1234. Back in a minute for more State Cap on the Ideas Network. It's a State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're discussing how to craft the biennial budget as the Joint Finance Committee is expected to wrap up its work on the two-year spending plan this week. They're informed by the news of the $4.4 billion general tax collection estimate surplus from the Legislative Fiscal Bureau. Do you want to see the massive surplus put toward tax cuts, put toward education funding, broadband, paying down state debt, something else? Is a combination of things. 800-642-1234. We have Republican State Senator Howard Markline on the line, chairs the legislature's Budget Writing Committee with us for about nine more minutes. State Senator, you have voted in favor of ending enhanced unemployment benefits immediately. They're scheduled to expire in September. The bill passed the State Senate without debate and now goes before Governor Evers. Why do you think he should sign it?
Well, I told you earlier, Kate, I've been out and about a lot over the last number of weeks, and that is the number one issue that I hear consistently from every area of my district, including, the dairy breakfast yesterday and that sort of thing. So it's a huge concern, and it's not just a concern for employers, and employers include, and I've heard from the Department of Natural Resources, state parks. They support people supporting my bill because they can't get people to work the state parks. I've heard from nonprofits, the tribes not being able to open up the casinos, all related to lack of staffing. So this is an incredibly broad-based concern from in all sectors of our economy. And then the other thing that I heard from, the first feedback I heard from on this issue was from a union carpenter who said, it's about time. And I've heard from so many people that have been getting up, going to work every day for the last 12, 13 months. And, and some of it may be resentment that they're watching their neighbor, pack the tackle box and go fishing. And so...
So you believe that this extra $300 is causing people not to be out looking for jobs and taking jobs because they are getting more money on unemployment aid?
I can give you a story. I talked to somebody yesterday from the Quad Cities who came up to the dairy breakfast. And this person owns a Culver's down there and had... no applications, basically. They were at a heck of a time even getting people to apply for jobs. When Governor Reynolds, Iowa Governor Reynolds, repealed the $300 per week supplement, the next day they got 22 job applications. Okay? Now, that wasn't coincidental that they didn't have any applications for a long period of time. She repeals the $300 per week supplement, and the next day there's 22 job applications that show up at their Culver's. So, yes, I certainly believe that if we leave that $300 per week supplement as is, that government is competing against our employers, and that's not a good thing.
Critics would argue, though, that employers aren't paying a living wage. If they boosted their pay, they may be able to get more applications in the door.
So I can show you all over my district the ads. In fact, I've talked to a number of my radio stations around the district. Advertising revenue isn't bad, primarily due to the fact that there's so many companies in my district that are now advertising for employees. And they're starting at 16, 17, 18, 20 bucks an hour for unskilled labor. One business is offering a $2 per hour They started, I think, $15-16 an hour for an unskilled entry-level position. But you get a $2 per hour bonus every week that you show up for work, okay? So if you show up, you know, on time for, you know, 2 weeks, you get an additional $2 per hour. So employers, you know, listen, you can't tell me that the jobs aren't there that aren't paying a good wage. The demand is so high right now, you're not in business anymore if you're paying minimum wage.
We're talking with State Senator Howard Markline of Spring Green, co-chairs the legislature's Joint Finance Committee. Let's bring in Dan now in Madison. Hi, Dan. Go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I was wondering if we indeed have this great windfall of historical proportion, is there a possibility of giving a windfall to the University of Wisconsin-Madison in the form of a donation from the government, as it were, to the endowment? I mean, it's the university at Madison has been starved for the last few years because of an inability to raise tuition and because of a great decrease in federal funding. And it's gone down in the rankings over the 35 years I've been here, from being ranked number 7 amongst public universities to being ranked number 13. It could use it. It could use it, and I think UW-Madison is a great draw to the state for people and for industry. I mean, that's why you've got Silicon Valley where it is, because that's where Berkeley and Stanford are. That's why you've got all these technologically oriented companies in Boston, because that's where Harvard and MIT are.
Dan, thanks. Senator Markline.
Yes, you know, I support UW-Madison. I've got a daughter that went through UW undergrad and law school. I support the mission. They do great things. They're integral to the success of our state. And I also, you know, I support the research that they're doing. So, we have funded some new initiatives at UW-Madison. The nurse educator program, which I think is going to be a great program for UW. And also, you know, with capital investments, we're making in total a $1.4 billion investment in the building commission. Of that, $629 million is going to the UW system. And of that, at UW-Madison, you know, we're funding the replacement of the humanities building, which has been on that project has been on the block for many, many years. And so we got around to replacing that in this budget, which I think is a great initiative. And also we're funding the first step in the expansion of the engineering program. We're going to be doing $70 million of utility work, which needs to be done so that I think in the next budget, we will likely be approving the new engineering department. But I certainly support UW-Madison and all the good work they do. And all in all, I think they're going to be pleased with the budget that we've crafted.
Senator Markline, thank you for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you, Kate. Have a great day.
You too. Senator Howard Markline, co-chair of the legislature's Joint Finance Committee. Earlier, we heard from Revenue Secretary Peter Barca. This is a State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.